All right, 1 John chapter 4. I do want to thank Chris Garner again for last week for encouraging us and teaching us last week. If you all missed it, it was recorded. Did it get up on there? It is on there. So if you guys missed it, please take some time to listen to our young brother encourage us in the Word. So thanks again, Chris. Appreciate it. 1 John chapter 4. Let us start reading from verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And this is the love of God. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. As we remember from a few weeks ago, how John writes here that we are to love one another, for love is of God. He is the very essence of love. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Those who are truly His, who are truly children of God, will love. Okay? Those who do not love do not know God. They are not children of God. Okay? Verse 9, in this the love of God was manifested towards us, or in us, in our case, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Now verse 10, which we'll cover tonight, let's read it one more time. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In other words, and this is love, it cannot be any clearer of God's love for us than this. 2 weeks ago we talked about that Him sending His only begotten Son. That is love. And that can't even be more clear. But it's even more clear than what we will talk about tonight, that it cannot be any more clear of God's love for us. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. Now that little section alone is full of God's sovereignty screaming out. In that alone is God's love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. What an amazing truth this is. And even more clear that it was never, ever, ever by our own merit. Anything that we did that God would then have to turn around and say, well, I think I have to give Him my love now. We could never do anything to earn God's love. Never by our own merit. He did not say, oh, look what that person's doing. Now I owe him my love. Because we did not love him. He loved us. Grace alone. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us and loved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. In this salvation, which is talking about in Titus, we can do nothing of ourselves to earn salvation. And the same thing with earning God's love. We can't conjure up anything. We can't say the right thing. We can't do the right thing. We can't conjure up good works to earn God's love. Period. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Not to love, as in our text, means to neglect disregard, condemn, willingly exposing oneself to death. So this was our very being. We were willingly exposing ourselves to death, to judgment, because we did not love God. We were His very enemies. That was our state. Willingly subjecting ourselves to death. Not loving God. All of us in here. That was our state. And still might be. I don't know. Lord willing, not. Consider these verses, and I'm going to point out a few things. I'm going to read a few verses that I read a couple weeks ago. But I'm going to take a little time to point a few things out so that all of us in here get it. Okay, so with that said, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. And I want us to understand what John is saying here by not that we loved God, but that He loved us. That is very powerful there. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 5. Everyone there? Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Point out here, when we were without strength, what does that mean? When we were without strength. Anyone want to take a shot at that? When we were without strength, we could do nothing to earn salvation. We had no strength in ourselves to find hope, to find life. When we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for who? Us, the ungodly, the sinners, the ones who did not love God. Wait a minute. You're saying that Christ died for the ungodly? What about all the religious people who claimed to love Him, who were good people? Christ died for the ungodly. Continue on, verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners. When did God demonstrate His own love towards us? While we were still sinners. While we did not love God, Christ died for us. Verse 9. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath. See, when we did not love God, what were we willingly putting ourselves to? Wrath. Wrath was due us because we lived a lifestyle of sin. We did not love God. We shook our fist towards Him. Wrath was the penalty that was due us. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. We were enemies. Do you guys understand that? We were enemies, and He reconciled us to Himself. So is it anything good that you did? Was that you just loved God so much that He decided, oh, I have to love Him. He just loves me so much, I have to love Him or her. No, you were His enemy. Do you understand that? Do I understand that? I was His enemy. I was without strength. I was ungodly. I was a sinner when He demonstrated His love towards me. And so were all of us. This needs to be made crystal clear to all of us that we did not love God. If you can show me somewhere where it says, well, because you loved God, you were saved. That would be works, wouldn't it? But it's not by our merit that He then decided to love us. We can't earn His love. We did not love Him. We were His enemies, ungodly, without strength, lifestyle of sin, in darkness. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now flip over to Ephesians chapter 2. This also I read a couple weeks ago, but it's definitely worth reading again so that we understand this. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. When did He make you alive? When you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also you also once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. See, we were by nature children of wrath, enemies of God. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love which with He loved us, even when we were what? Dead in trespasses, made us alive together. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We were dead. We were by nature children of wrath. Does everyone understand that? None of us in here loved God. It was not in our nature. We were dead. We could not love God. We had no ability in ourselves to love God. When you're dead, you're dead. So someone who is spiritually dead cannot love God on their own. They cannot just decide, you know what? I'm going to decide to love God. I'm spiritually dead. Something has to happen. And we cannot do it on our own. Jameson Fawcett Brown writes this: though so altogether unworthy of love, the Greek aorist expresses not that we did any act of love at any time to God, but that He did the act of love to us in sending Christ. See, it's not that, again, not that we did any act of love at any time. We did not love God. He was our enemy. But it was His act of love by sending us Christ. Flip over to Romans chapter 3. Starting in verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous,
No, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one.
What is that telling us here? That we did not love God. We did not seek for God. We do not understand God. There is none who does good. No, not one. Is that any more clear? And that is not me saying this. This is the Word of God. There is none good. No, not one. None who seeks after God.
Calvin writes, God freely loved us. How so? Because He loved us before we were born. And also when, through depravity of nature, we had hearts turned away from Him, that we are born so corrupt and so depraved that there is in us, as it were, an innate hatred for God, so that we desire nothing but what is displeasing to Him, so that all the passions of our flesh carry on continual war with His righteousness. We were by nature what? Children of wrath. We were not seeking for God. Everything we did was to displease Him. In an arrant hatred for Him. All of us were born this way with a depraved nature, lost, without hope, without God in this world. How then did God demonstrate or manifest His love in us? He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Why? Because we did not love Him. The Greek is apostello. It's to send forth on a certain mission, such as to preach, speak, bless, rule, redeem, propitiate, save. The expression that Jesus was sent by God denotes the mission which He had to fulfill and the authority which backed Him. The importance of this mission is denoted by the fact that God sent His own Son. Is that an important mission? Yes. Because we had no hope. We could not save ourselves. Thus, Christ was sent to be the propitiation for our sins. That was His mission. Propitiate means to appease, to atone for, to make amends. Jesus is the means for appeasement. Jesus is the means to atone for. Jesus is the means to make amends for. Hilasimos refers to Christ as the one who not only propitiates, but offers Himself as the propitiatory sacrifice, being both sacrifice and the officiating high priest. He is the sacrifice and the high priest at the same time. Zodiades writes this, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, which means to pay the necessary price. Why? Why did He have to pay a price? Because we were without hope. Sin demands what? Justice. We were sinners, right? We read it. While we were still sinners, while we were ungodly, while we were dead, that lifestyle we lived demanded justice. Death was that justice. Wrath had to be poured out to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, which means to pay the necessary price for the expiation and removal of the sins of the people. We were owed death for our sins. You and I deserved death. That was the price that we owed. We were sinners. We lived a lifestyle in darkness. We walked according to the prince of power of the air. We were the ones who deserved the wrath. A price had to be paid. For the wages of sin is what? Death. All of us in here were sinners and deserving of death. Because holy God always demands justice. He would not be a holy God if He did not demand justice. But He is a holy God and will demand justice. A punishment of wrath was due us for sins. Death was the justice that was due. The mercy seat was the lid or the cover of the Ark of the Covenant on which the high priest in the Old Testament, the high priest, sprinkled the blood of an expiatory victim. The cross was the place of expiation, the mercy seat. And Christ was the sacrifice whose blood, His sacrificial death, was sprinkled on it. It was the payment once and for all. His death, His sprinkling of the blood on the cross, was the payment once and for all. The finished work on the cross. The perfect work on the cross, I might add. But it is much more than a completed act. Yes, it was the finished work in that the price was paid. Justice was due. Death and wrath had to be poured out. He paid that price. He paid the price. Price was paid. Finished work. But it does not stop there. It is not a completed act. For His blood, listen, His blood cleanses us from all sins. 1 John 1:7. Let's read it. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, what? Cleanses us from all sin. It is the present active here. So it can be read this way. His blood is cleansing us from all sin. It's a continuous thing for His children. His blood continues to cleanse you and I from all sin. Do you understand that? Yes, what He did on the cross was the finished work in that He paid the price. But His blood continues to work. It continues to cleanse us from all sin. Amen? In Christ's death, the enmity between God and man was taken away. Does this mean anything? Yeah. What did we read in Romans and in Ephesians? That we were His enemies. That we did not love Him. That we could not save ourselves. We were not seeking for Him. We were dead without hope. in Christ's death, the enmity which was there between us and God was taken away. That should mean everything to us. Because before, God and myself were at war. I was at enmity with Him. I hated Him. But He sent His Son to be the propitiation for my sins, that I might live through Him. That enmity was taken away. I am now His child. When I was once His enemy, now His child. Once in darkness, now in light. Does that mean anything to us? In Christ's death, the enmity between God and man was taken away. And again, not on the basis of our merit, not by any works that we did, because we were dead. One who is spiritually dead cannot save themselves. But it is Christ's work that has brought you to God. Nothing on your own, but on Christ's merit alone. Do we understand this? Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Do you understand this? His love was demonstrated by Him sending His own Son to pay the price that you deserved, that I deserved. The wrath that should have been poured out on us was poured out upon His Son for all of the wrongs that we did. Not that we loved God, but He loved us. Colossians 2, 13 and 14. Paul says, "And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made us alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Not that we loved Him, but He loved us. Yes, I'm repeating myself, because we need to get this. Because you and I did not love God, but He loved us. You and I were dead in our sins and trespasses. He loved us. You and I could do nothing to save ourselves. You and I could do nothing to conjure up a love for God. But He sent His Son to make appeasement for you and I, to atone for, to pay the price for you and I. Not that we loved God, but He loved us. Let's pray. What can we say, Father? Lord, I pray that Your Word would penetrate to our hearts, that it would convict us of our sins, after hearing your word, that we had no hope, that we were without God in this world, that we did not love you. On the contrary, we were at enmity with you. Everything we did was to displease you. We could not love you on our own, for we were spiritually dead. But you loved us. You sent your only begotten Son to be that propitiation, to appease for our sins, to pour out your wrath and justice upon your Son on behalf of us, that we might now live, that we now can love you, because we could not before, but now we can. We can love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's the thing. We get to love you now. What an honor. What a blessing. What a privilege that we get to love you. Shame on us if we take that for granted. Shame on us knowing that you sent your Son to die for us, that we can love you, that we can have hope, that we can live, that we can have God in this world. Lord, may your word convict us deeply. Penetrate our hearts, Lord, I pray. What an amazing love this is. For we did not love you, yet we shook our fists at you. But you loved us. Lord, may we never forget this truth of your sovereign grace of love towards us, not by our own merit, but in the merit of the Holy Christ paying that price for us. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus, that you took upon yourself the wrath that was due us, the penalty upon your own shoulders. You suffered for everything that we have done wrong. We thank you, Lord. And it's by your merit, what you have done, by your authority, that we can pray to God.